Welcome back to Bold and Body. This is your girl Maddie, and I'm joined by one of my lovely co-hosts and then this other dude.
Hey, it's Lita D. What up, y'all?
It's Wesley.
And this dude.
Yeah, he's man, still this here. Show still wouldn't be shit without he's me.
Hello, motherfucker.
Still here. We still, you know, we've written a lot of letters and they've still gone unanswered. Man. So we can't let him go. Sorry, guys. He's our diversity hire. Yeah, whatever. So just bear with us.
I hope y'all got the response though. Something I did from the back. Anyway, let's go.
Oh Jesus!
I don't know who he's talking to, but he ain't talking to me
all the time. Who are you talking to?
All the people who want to send hating ass letters.
Speaking of, so today we wanted to talk about pretty much. Have you guys ever been in those situations where you're at your job, at your desk, in your cubicle, wherever it might be, and you're just like, man, fuck these hoes.
All
fuck
the time.
This guy. Fuck Karen. Oh, fuck geez. Susan in HR. Fuck all of this. And then you start considering leaving. Man, and then you stop like, nah, bruh. I need this job.
I just take it out. I let you have it. I don't care.
For real? You just let it go? Okay, so for the rest of us that are sane, we normally take a moment and we're just like, yo, I want to leave, but can I? And then we start crunching numbers normally. It's just like, nah, bruh.
It's like, this can't happen away.
I'm going to just avoid Karen, and I'm going to tell Susan that I'm going to take that racial diversity training that she's been talking about I need to do. I'm going to take this L.
Why are you going to be mad about the racial diversity training? No, everybody needs that.
Because we all know it's not effective, but I'm just saying, I've never had to do that because I know how to act right. I'm also the only black person in the office, so
I know, but everybody else around you better be taking that shit.
Oh, I almost had to report somebody for some slick shit she said.
Wait, what? What was this?
What was said?
Oh, she has a whole fucking portfolio of shady things that she said. So I'm not actually, I'm the only black person in my department. There's one other black person who actually sits right across from me who has dreads. And she legit one day was just like, oh, you know, your hair is like one of those rappers.
Nigga, what the fuck?
We're like,
excuse me?
The fuck? And straight up tried to touch her hair and all that shit. And then another time, like she.
Like one of those rappers?
Mm-hmm. One of those rappers.
I'm sorry.
Very professional.
I would be like, bitch, do you want me to drag my sack across your face?
Okay, woman. It's a woman. We don't have sex.
Okay, bitch, do you want me to drag my sack across your face? Because that's basically what you asked me to do.
My point is still that we don't have sacks to drag across.
Yeah, anyway, there's like maybe like lips.
Do you mean my titties? Like, I'm gonna drag them. That's sexual harassment.
You want me to drag my vulva across your face?
That's sexual harassment.
Yeah, for real. I feel like that's a lot of work for me too.
Assault. Like, get down on the floor. Am I climbing on your desk? Like, how are we making this happen right now? Anyway, that's not what we're talking about
straight
today.
Up drag.
I apologize. Sorry, this is why. We don't have Wesley on here because he don't know how to act. And he amps it all up. Anyway. So pretty much we just want to talk about those situations and those times where you're considering either leaving or maybe doing a career change or just saying fuck it all. And why? What stops you? What encourages you to do it? Because I don't think any of us haven't had any major mine was early on in my career.
Mine was early too, but it wasn't like, it was more of like having the unhappy situation / toxic work environment and having to think my way out of that situation. But just from like what I've heard, it's like usually that type of environment is what pushes people to the curve, like sometimes to just completely question what they're doing.
So the work environment itself.
Yeah, like either the work environment or like the unhappiness of what they're doing day to day. Like I was also reading about I don't remember the lady's name, but she talked about like her experience in deciding to leave like a Rhodes Scholar position.
Oh.
Like she had applied to it and got it. Like her family was like super happy. And then she started getting into the program and the day to day and like the research and the reading. And she just found that it wasn't her calling. And like, she was really unhappy. She didn't care about what she was doing. And so she kind of hit this like low point where she had to evaluate whether or not that was really for her.
Word.
And so she, I think, talked with her parents and talked with a couple people, but it was always like the judgment of like, well, how could you even consider walking away from this opportunity? Like, not everybody gets this type of opportunity.
Word.
And ultimately her making the tough decision of leaving and not returning to the program the next year because it wasn't like it was taking too much from her and it was taking a toll on her and her mental health. And so like there are like different types of situations like that where it's like you really have to think through it. And I don't think it's ever an easy decision.
Word.
But
I know that's the main thing that I thought of in terms of like why somebody might choose to leave a position or just change their career trajectory in the first place. My first thing, it was passion. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I know that's why I changed my major in undergrad. Because I just realized it wasn't something I was truly passionate about or that I would be happy doing for the rest of my life. And you see a lot of people that are in their jobs and it's just like, oh yeah, I've been working here for the past 27 years, but I hate it. And I've hated it since the first day I started.
Which is insane. Like,
that's bananas. I'm not willing to stay in a job that I hate or do something that I hate. But there are a lot of people for them where it's just like, it is what it is. Like, I have to do this. It's not what I'm happy doing, but I'll do this. But then other people, it's just like, I'm passionate about XYZ. And even though that's not what I've been doing for most of my career, I'd rather drop everything so that I can go pursue that passion. Mm-hmm. And whether I'm still making the same amount of money or I'm still able to live the same lifestyle, it's worth it for me. Because then at least I'll be happy and I'll have that peace of mind knowing that I'm making the impact and the difference in the world that I feel like I should be doing. But again, that's not everybody.
Yeah. I mean, everybody has like, you know, different triggers and everybody has like different priorities too. Mm-hmm. But I think like the biggest, like when we thought about this particular topic, I think sometimes, yes, there's like the fundamentals of it, like how you're feeling and your health, your both mental, physical, sort of like the toll or the impact that either that toxic work environment or where you're working or if you're doing like a school program or like all of these different things really influence, I think, your view on yourself and also your view on like how you want to make a change in your situation. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the other things too that's like important to think about is like, you know, there's some people that could easily just in the rash, like of like the heat of the moment, make a rash decision. Mm-hmm. But then there's really other people that don't really have the privilege of choice, which I think it's like when you talked about like the 27 year, like that person working at that company for 27 years. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, did they really have the privilege to seek something else out? And I think it's unpacking that for yourself is where as the individual that's going through it, I think that's the hardest piece. And so what I think might happen in those situations, it's like, okay, yeah, you may not have the privilege to just quit the next day because mm-hmm. you either are supporting a family or you might have other financial obligations. But I think stepping or forcing yourself to step outside of like your comfort zone to figure out an alternate plan, like I think that's the biggest challenge. Word. Is like some people won't put the time in for it. Mm-hmm. And that's how I think you could get stuck in that situation. And then it leads into like, you know, one of the reasons why people may not want to leave, like being unhappy or not having that passion or being in that toxic work environment, is because of the money. Like,
that's usually the biggest reason that people don't want to make a move or a change. It's either the upheaval of their family life, like especially if they're the main breadwinner, or just lifestyle. Like, yeah. I'm accustomed to making X amount of money. And if I go for the position that I'm passionate about, what maybe it's teaching or something. Everybody knows teachers don't make nearly enough money.
No.
Yeah. Considering everything that they do, like So it's like, I might be passionate about teaching, but teaching a teacher's salary is not going to cover my mortgage, my student loans, my car note.
Talk to them.
My avocado toast habit.
Yeah.
Them my Pilates acai
bowls.
Classes.
Acai word. Bowls. Wow.
Hell, yo. Like, if I become a teacher, like, I can't do this. I believe the children are the future, but I believe this avocado toast.
Nah, fuck that. I'm the future. I'm the future. You know what I'm saying?
Nah. All right.
Nah. I'm really just kidding about that one.
No, but I feel like, seriously, I think we could all agree, taking a pay cut, especially if it's a massive pay cut.
What's
depending
massive?
On where you're coming from.
20%.
For some people, 30%. Depending on what their passion is, it could be like upwards of 50%.
Ooh, no, I ain't doing that.
Think about it. Like,
if I take a 50% pay cut, I got to be owning my own shit. Seriously. I do my own thing.
But what if it makes you happy? Like, you know that if you take this pay cut, you're going to wake up every morning like, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. The universe is smiling on me because I'm living in my purpose.
Unfortunately, landlords don't work that way.
He's like, the universe is smiling on me, but this landlord is like,
this landlord is like, where my rent?
Where my rent money, bitch? Like, give me my money.
Or that, that bank with the mortgage payment too. Yeah. The
bank gonna be screaming at me. These fucking
Sally Mae don't know how to egg. Sally Mae run up on you in these streets like, excuse me.
It's not even Sally Mae no more. Now Navient or Great Lakes. The motherfuckers be coming after you and shit.
Oh, Great Lakes.
Great Lakes is kind of nicer.
I was about to say, I've never had any problems with Great Lakes. Yeah, they have my federal one.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Great Lakes is nicer.
I switched from Sally Mae over to Sophie. If any of y'all need that code, let me know. Because
put these referrals out there.
Nah, seriously though, on some real, like, Navien is trash.
Yeah, they are super trash.
Sophie had way better rates and it just worked out better. But for real, holla at me because I'm definitely about them referral bonuses.
Well, that's good.
You get 500, I get 500. We all get 500.
We'll
all do it.
Okay, so taking a pay cut. Damn, that seems like the main one. We're just like, no, I'm not doing that. For real, though?
I mean, I would do it, like,
not 50%. If it was 20%.
If it was 20%, I would do it if I had some sort of stake in the company. Like, they couldn't pay me in the amount of dollars that I wanted. But if they gave me a little bit of equity in the company, I'll consider shares. It. And then like they sold a product that I was just like, you know, this will go somewhere. Or like a bigger company, which happens in tech, will buy the smaller company out. I would do it. I would do some
equity.
So
you would take
stuff.
A temporary pay cut.
I would take a temporary pay cut knowing
if
that
there's a promise
this
that
equity like will work out in the end. I'd do it.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of stake. But
okay.
Some unhappiness stuff, I mean, it's hard to say. I gotta be It depends on the situation I'm in at the job, like how far I'm willing to go. Like it, there's a lot of factors that go into that.
Yeah. But I would say, though, that you bring up a good point around, well, if you can't make the base salary that you were making and you're willing to take a pay cut on the base salary, if you're able to negotiate some of those other benefits, like you could still be whole. Like you can mm-hmm. negotiate for more vacation time or like a tuition reimbursement. Or so that way, like if you're thinking of like, oh, I'm moving, because I think a lot of people sometimes if they're taking another job at another industry or in something that they haven't done before, like the pay cut is kind of
significant.
It's significant and
it's scary
and it's unavoidable, too, yeah. Because like nobody's going to pay you the same amount that you were making before, but doing something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think it's always smart that if you are considering taking a pay cut, that you're planning it. And so that you're thinking about, well, what else would you ask for? And some of the things you can ask for is like maybe more benefits or like some sort of like reimbursement for like commuting or for travel or something like that.
Pay half my student loan, Ninja. How about that?
Something that's always a good one. I think you can do that if it's nonprofit for sure.
Usually.
Yeah.
But that's hard to come by also. But if it's clearly my whole thing is passion. So I feel like if it's something I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
And there's some way for me to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would be willing to do it. Like, I think for a lot of people, giving up a certain lifestyle is hard. Super, super, super hard.
Yo, man, I'm willing to give up my jerk chicken lifestyle. Sorry. No problem.
honestly, like, no, nah, I agree with you.
Make your own jerk chicken.
For real, they have really good, Walker's has a really good already made spice blend that is just as good as if you went to Peppa's. Maybe not just as good, but
yeah,
I'm not gonna say it's on the same level, but it's still pretty good. If you know how to cook, if you don't know how to cook and you're just gonna throw it on and not wash your meat, nasty ass motherfucker, then yeah, it's gonna come out tasting like trash. Anyway, it's not about my recipes. I think there are some things, if you feel like it's worth it, that you'd be willing to give up. So if it's okay, I have to downsize and move from this nice big 3-bedroom apartment into a studio.
Talk to them.
Some people would be willing to do that.
I mean, that's what we had to do.
We had to do that. And I've never
I've
never been happier. Actually, that's a good point, because I didn't take a pay cut. I negotiated more money because I don't believe in taking pay cuts, but that's just personal.
But you also didn't like do a big shift from a different industry.
No. No, like, we didn't. But it was hard, because at least that moment of unhappiness for me was the geography of where I was living.
Mm.
And so where we were living, we both hated it.
Man, say it. Cincinnati.
It was Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
And I feel like we've talked about how much.
I feel like that was the one place you guys lived where I'm like, I'm not going to visit these motherfuckers. They're
like, they'll come back at some point.
And then he moved to Boston. I was like, I'll see you next week.
But no, but that one, and so that actually is a really good example of just how it was a plan. So I think it was like year one, I hated it. And then I started planning. It's like, okay, well, how can I get out of here? And so I started looking for internal roles to see if they can move me. I also at the same time started looking for external roles to see if they could like relocate me. But I must point out that that was around 2008 during the Great Recession.
At the onset of the world collapsing in the industry that we were both working in at the time. Yeah. Just like,
it was a very, was very horrible. Bad time. So I had to be, you know, I had to be patient. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, you know, 6 months or a year and I was out of the situation. It took a good 3 years to get out of that situation. Like, and it
please
was
ignore
just
Wesley blowing his nose directly into my mic like he was on a damn sense.
I turned around, stop.
I was like, that's still fairly close.
It was
close,
still
though.
Really close.
I feel like
you turned away from your mic, but towards him. Do you know how sound works?
We got the compressor. It's not probably, it probably didn't even register.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see.
We'll see.
Anyway, so.
I had to blow my nose. I don't go.
You stupid.
So, like I was saying, it wasn't a situation that I was able to resolve in 6 months or a year, but it literally took 3 years. Mm. And during those, so it was basically 2 years of searching. Yes. And during that time, it was just a matter of like keeping, like doing what I had to do at the job to keep that job, because I obviously still wanted them to consider me for any moves.
Yeah.
Traveling 80 miles for some fucking jerk chicken.
Which, yeah, we would.
Which is the truth, by the way.
We would drive to find this jerk chicken.
We drove from Cincinnati to Columbus to this Jamaican spot to get.
Was it at least good?
Yes,
it was very good.
It was really good. Okay. It was worth the drive.
Was it good because you had it
no,
in so
no, no,
long
no, 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 no. It was. I will say this.
A Ritz cracker situation.
This place was slightly better than Peppa's.
Okay.
Not joking.
They were legit.
They were legit.
It was okay. Just super far.
Like, if I went again, I'm going to Columbus just to get the damn trick. Oh, right, visit
so
the Ohio State University.
In Columbus, let me know about this jerk chicken.
I forget the name of the place.
Apparently,
though.
It's the
I just
only
know where
spot,
it is.
So y'all probably know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we need to find the name of this place because I forgot what it
I
was.
Forgot what it's called. I just know I where just, to fucking go.
And we used to buy like those party platters, like we were catering platter. For like 30 people.
And freeze it? Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Shit was still good.
Yo, that shit's real. That's unhappiness right there.
Yeah.
I refuse to live anywhere where I can't get some jerk chicken within 15 minutes. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, man.
That would be my level of, like, no, I have to move. I need a new job. I need new everything if I can't even get some damn good Jamaican
food. I mean,
food.
And that's literally our situation. I was just like, I need to get out of here. And then, you know, just kept trying, kept planning. And that's the thing. It's like, you do have to be resilient about it, because you can't just give in to, like, well, I'm just going to take the first job that I get. And it's like you have to sit down and think about your criteria. Like, mm-hmm. what is it that you must have? And what is like a non, like, you know, what are your non-negotiables and what's like not as important? Because when we were trying to leave Cincinnati, I was trying to come back to New York. This is mm-hmm. home. New York wasn't working out. And so I got the next big thing.
As much as we love New York, New York stay telling us that she don't love us big.
It was just like not working out.
That's why I didn't want to come back for a little while.
Yeah, I remember that.
I kind of want to still, a part of me wants to leave. I'm going to go to LA. I'm going to go to the West Coast. I want to live out there for a little while.
Well, if you're talking about rent, like that's not any better.
Yeah, it's like worse. Yeah,
so, so I got all that extra sun. Like, I think I'll be happy.
He's like, he's going to live on the street.
Yeah, for real. And Skid Row.
Bye, Felicia.
What's the problem?
Not a Skid Row.
Oh, yeah. I feel like you are the type of person that would join a cult out there.
Me? Yeah, I'd be all right. I wouldn't join a damn cult.
Because it would be like, oh, we got free Wi-Fi here? Hell yeah, come on. Look, it's communal eating. Don't worry about it, Lena D. It'll be okay. She's like, I'm not going there.
Yeah, I'll be all right. I'll
It'll be like, hey, Lena D, what happened to Wesley? He started a cult.
And he won't come back.
He joined one, and he didn't like how things worked there, and the fact that they didn't know what jerk chicken was, so he started his own cult.
Exactly, the jerk chicken cult. He cursed motherfuckers out.
Over jerk chicken. Oh, my goodness.
Like,
I hate to go to damn restaurants.
He ain't even Jamaican.
I hate them damn restaurants. I'm sorry, we shouldn't even talk about this. All right, let's keep going. We know how that. Like, I ain't trying to hear that shit.
Never have nothing.
They never have what you want.
You don't even have a fucking plate. Fuck out
of
here.
That was our experience with one of the Jamaican spots in Boston.
I got up and I walked out.
Yeah, we just left. We were
they didn't have plates.
They didn't have jerk chicken.
Oh,
I was like, wait,
what kind of shit is that?
You a Jamaican restaurant,
yeah,
and your signature dish you don't have. All right, I'm out.
And it was like 1 p.m.
Yeah, got here. I never have shit like,
ever.
And I was like, what the fuck? Anyway,
all right, let's keep going. Sorry,
but so the whole point of that roundabout thing was like we had to leave, and we left not to the city that I wanted to leave to, but it still worked.
Man, Boston was awesome.
I think that's a really great point. Like when you decide that. Okay, you're not happy somewhere, whether it's with a job or even just in the location, your plan might not work out exactly the way you mm-hmm. want it to in the time frame that you set for yourself. But you have to trust the process will work out as long as you keep doing the work.
Right.
I think I told you guys when I was at my last job, after I finished my MBA, I was like, okay, 6 months, girl. And you gotta have either been promoted or have left. It was like a year and some change later. And I was like, all right, you need to do something.
Keep at it.
No, I had
because you hadn't done any. Oh, so you
was just like,
wait,
didn't happen in 6 months. I was like, I guess.
So you were expecting it to happen in 6 months and you weren't doing shit?
Wow.
I had tried and then it didn't work out. Okay. And I was just like, all right. And then finally I was just like, girl, no, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's
and
not
finally
how it
was just like, okay. Get it done. And then it happened. Like I was just like, before my birthday, because you know you love making your birthday a milestone.
Yeah.
It's like before my birthday, I need to have another job. And lo and behold, I came back from vacation and I got that phone call. It's just like, hey, we'd like to offer you like for okay, sure, thanks. Let's talk salary.
Yeah, you have to like manifest it. Cause if you don't like you can say it, but if you're not making it happen, like mm-hmm. you got to put that energy out. Absolutely. Otherwise it doesn't happen.
And you just have to really understand yourself, your goals, and what it is that you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so we talked about pay being a reason that some people hesitate making moves like that. Another reason I think is judgment. A lot of people are afraid of the judgment that they're going to get from their family, whether it's like their spouse, their kids having to like let them down, or their parents, their community, all of that shit. I remember when I changed my major, because like every good Caribbean, I was a pre-med major.
Oh,
and I was just like, I don't think I want to do this anymore. Like, I don't think I'm gonna tell my mom that I don't want to do this anymore.
I'm just not
because
gonna do it.
she's gonna come for me. Like, what do you mean?
Why are you running?
And I think anybody who's done that, made that shift, has been like, that's been the thing in the back of their head. Or the people that don't make that change, it's just like, what is my family going to say? What is my my wife going to say? What is my husband going to say? Like, how are my kids going to feel? All that, like, that plays a part. But that's when you realize, like, you have to do something for yourself. Like, right. This is my purpose. This is my reason. And again, I think we said this in, if not the last episode, a few episodes before. If I'm unhappy here and I keeled over and I died, like, this job would replace me. Yeah. So why am I going to keep losing, like, giving my life to somewhere that I'm not even satisfied with?
Yeah. And it's like, and I think that's the big thing, too, that people need to, because it's all about working through it in your own head. Mm-hmm. And so the judgment, it's like you're keeping yourself in a situation that you're unhappy with and isn't right for you because of your fear of judgment. But then that judgment isn't making you any happier anyway.
No.
And it's like sometimes no matter what you end up doing, like, people still have something that they feel some type
always
of way about.
Always got something to say.
Always something.
Yeah.
Because they'll be the same people who's just like, I don't know why you stayed in that job for the past 10 years if you weren't happy.
Oh, Jesus.
Because when I said I was planning on leaving it, you were the main one talking about how I shouldn't leave. Like, you can never please other people. Mm-hmm. And whoever it is that you choose to try to please, if yourself, like, if you are not the first one on the list, like, your list needs to be restructured.
Yeah.
Yeah. It always needs to be me, myself, and I. So the first three is
always
you.
Like, if I am married, then it's just like, okay, hun, what do you think? But first, it always has to be like, am I happy? Mm-hmm. Am I okay with this? Can I make this work? Because I'm the one that has to, one of my cousins, not this one, was actually the one that gave me this advice. She's like, you're the one that has to get up every day and go to that job.
Oh, I think I know who this is.
So do something that you're going to be happy with.
Yeah.
And I was just like, but my mom, all right, clearly you're not listening.
Yeah.
She's like, you're the one. And I was like, I hear you, but my mom.
It's like, I still don't know how to deal with this mom thing, but.
Word. And finally, I was just like, oh, I get what you're saying. It's about me, not her, because I'm the one that's going to get these reviews. I'm the one that's going to have to do this.
Right.
I'm the one that they cut in the check to. So you right.
like, I get it now.
It took a while, but, and I know for a lot of people, like, especially if you're Caribbean.
Well, I didn't take that shit. I gave him the finger immediately when I said I wanted to do what I wanted to do.
Especially if you're a respectful Caribbean.
Yeah.
Which Wesley, I guess.
No, I'm not even going to say that. Especially if any Caribbean, you have gotten that unwanted feedback from your family on what you're doing with your life. And I feel like that's how we end up having so many people do like mid-career career changes. Because it's just like, I've lived up to their expectations now. Now I can go do what makes me happy. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, coming up or growing up, you always heard about, like, a midlife crisis. And now, as a almost midlifer,
almost
I'm just like, I don't think it's a crisis so much as people being like, fuck you and your status quo. Like, I'm going to do what I wanted to do all this time. I'm going to do what I've always known was going to make me happy. It's not about, like, living up to your expectations anymore. And people like, oh, my God, they're having a meltdown. It's just like, nah. I just don't want to do what you want me to do anymore. Like, that's all that is.
And the thing is, it's like, you know, sometimes I feel like life is all about transitions, and also like your interest and what drives you sometimes also transitions.
Right.
And so a part of it is like, okay, well, if you made decisions in your life when you were younger because you felt like you had to appease somebody else, then at some point you're going to say, well, you know, what's really going to make me happy or what really drives me or what I'm really interested in is this instead. Mm-hmm. And so then you start moving in that direction. But I think it's also completely fine. And I think culturally, sometimes it's not as accepted. So whether you're talking about Caribbean culture or Latinx culture, it's like, well, you know, why are you making such a drastic shift in the middle of like in your 30s or in your 40s? Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is sometimes you just, like, a career doesn't have to always move in the same direction. Like, your career and what you do in your life can move in different directions as long as you're growing from it and you're still, like, you know, you're still supporting yourself. It's like, it shouldn't really matter to anybody else, but there's always, like, that opinion, as we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that as individuals, we need to give ourselves the opportunity to be okay with change and be okay with making shifts in whether it's like the job that we're gonna like move out of or move into, or even like if it's like the decision that you're finally ready to like stop working for somebody else and then you want to start your own thing. And I think obviously that you also have to be like, you have to plan to do that. You can't just like do it from one day to another.
Word.
But having the comfort to know that you are taking a risk, but you're also investing in yourself and taking that risk and just doing it without really fearing the unknown or having to think too much about like what other people are going to say or think.
Facts. And you did make a good point. It's not just Caribbean culture where we hear about that. And I'm sure all of us by now, if you haven't, what are you doing with your life? Have read Becoming by our forever first lady, Michelle Obama.
It's a great book.
Amazing book. I have the physical book and the audio book because I go that hard.
I only bought it on my iPad, but
get it on Audible.
Listen to it on Audible because she Michelle reads it right? And it's just like, oh my God, it's like she's talking to me. Don't mind me.
Wow. Maddie does it in this episode, so it's not just me.
Hey now, I wasn't talking about avocado toast. So. You weren't talking about avocado toast.
I was talking about working out, but it was still like it's in there. It's like the inner.
But it's Michelle Obama. Like I can fangirl over Michelle Obama.
No, she's amazing.
And nobody can tell me nothing. Even if you try to, fuck you. But in her book, and so you know what I'm going to talk about. She talks about all the transitions that she made throughout her career, and about the criticism, not the criticism, but the critique and the advice that she was getting from her mom about it. And it's just like, oh, so it's not just us. I feel like all throughout the book, I was just like, it's not just us. It's not just me. Like, she gets me. Like, I could be friends with her. Like, I could totally be friends with Michelle Obama. For real, though, if you're listening. Hi.
Can we be friends?
No, we will be friends. Like, I'm telling you. Okay, Lena D said sometimes you just got to put it out into the universe. So that's what I'm doing. I'm manifesting Michelle Obama being my friend.
The friendship.
We're going to meet her. We're going to meet her one day. And then we're going to be friends.
It's going to happen. And I'm going to be really excited. I might pass out. now that I finished fangirling.
Like some creep girl shit. Yeah. No lie. Like, that's my cousin. I'm Wesley. I'm sorry.
Like, I don't know what's wrong with her. She's usually not like this.
Yeah, she's
I'm
not so like sorry. This, usually.
No, but she talks about like her mom essentially like questioning her decision to leave corporate law, which, again, was something, a huge pay cut, complete change in direction in terms of her career and everything that she had built towards. And she did it early in her career also. So it's just like, you're just getting started. You're just like becoming established in this firm and in this role. And she was just like, this just isn't what I'm happy doing. Yeah. Like, I'm good at it. And I think that's another thing that people mistake. It's like being good at something and doing something that you love aren't the same.
It's not the same fulfillment.
Yeah. So she's like, I'm good at it. She could have continued in corporate law and made fucking tons and tons of money. But she's like, this isn't where I want to be. And then she went through, what, three different jobs before she got to the place where she's like, this is exactly where I want to be and how I want to grow and the impact that I want to have. And this is before she became first lady. So for everybody that likes to talk about how she's just first lady, like, CSU, don't be rude.
She had her own thing going on. Like, she always had her own
whole
thing.
Ass life.
Yeah.
Like, excuse me. That shit was real. So Michelle Obama was one person that made one of those like mid-career or early career changes that showed like she took the pay cut. She changed her lane, but she was happy with it, the criticism, but she also had a good support system. She had a partner who was just like, I guess this is what we're doing, because she was definitely the breadwinner.
Yeah, she was.
Like.
And she talks about that in the book, too.
Barack was not in these streets, like, making bank. She was breadwinner, and she was just like, hey, we're going to have to take this L. And he was like, all right, cool. Not everybody has a partner who's going to be down for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what I found really interesting, too, which was like,
damn!
Like that, hey, Rude.
Very rude.
Allegedly.
Why the fuck you lying?
Even though Lena D has explicitly said that she's not down for the pay cut. Still.
What was really interesting too in that book that I thought was like, for me, it was hard to wrap my mind around it culturally, was that when she decided to, or even when they decided to move in together, they like moved in with their parents for a bit.
Word.
And
with
I was
her
just,
parents.
Yeah, her with her parents. Yeah.
House that she grew up in, like as a child. Yeah. My mom would be like, you'd want to do it. You want him to live where? Girl, no.
And then, but even for me, I'm just like, really? Is that what we would really want? And so I don't know, but it goes back
but to you gotta never. Take that L sometimes, yeah. Where it's just like, this is what we're gonna have to do. Lifestyle change, where it's just like, this is what we're gonna have to do in order to move forward.
Yeah, okay.
It worked out.
Renting a room with my friends. I'm not doing that.
He's like, anywhere but parents' house.
Yeah, because they're gonna be like, oh, so why are you out so late? So what were you doing? They're always into your business, and you like 20, 30 something years old.
20, 30 something. We went 20 to 30 something.
chill the F out.
Yeah, but no, but I thought it was interesting. And I mean, it worked for them. And it was like part of the things that, you know, it made her happy because she was super close to her family. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely, I thought, different from what I think would expect from at least like that time in that era.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so she was our first example. Another person that we looked at who made one of those mid-career changes is our favorite documentarian. Is that a word? I hope it's a word because I'm saying it. Ava DuVernay. So she started, and everybody knows like the whole, oh, I didn't make my first film until I was 32. But most people don't know what she was doing before that. She actually started out in journalism.
It's a real word.
It's a real word.
Yes. Look at it. That's why I read books, baby. I might not know if it's a word, but it felt right.
Context clues.
I'm just like, this seems like this should be the root, and this should be. I'm sorry. I feel like there's an English teacher out there somewhere who's just like, you're making me proud. You're welcome.
You're welcome. Anyway.
So Ava DuVernay actually started out in journalism, lost interest, was just like, yeah, I'm not here for this. And got into PR, ended up owning and running her own firm.
Ooh.
For years, along with a whole bunch of other stuff before she got into film. So it's like making that plan. The path will not always be straight, ever.
It's rare.
And then you find that thing where it's just like, hey, you know, I've always wanted to do this. Let me do this. I feel like that was a hell of a risk. Just to be like, okay, let me, because for a filmmaker, that's pretty late in the game. Most people have decided that they wanted to be filmmakers since they were like, what, in their teens, 20s?
Yeah, something like that.
And she comes along at 32. She's just like, hey, you know what I want to do now? I don't know, start a magazine? No, I want to make a movie. People are like, oh, all right.
It's like, you sure you want to do that? You always have like naysayers and stuff, which is really annoying.
Usually about that Super 8 lifestyle. So. What? You know what Super 8 is, right? The little cameras or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think. Then again, you know, I don't know what she could have afforded at that time. Yeah, maybe that is true. Where she started. Yeah. But even if, like, look at where the fuck she's at now.
Yeah.
It's a risk. It's scary. But I feel like when you know, you know. And you just take the leap. Of faith.
And then you put the work in too. Like, it doesn't happen overnight.
Facts.
So I think it's, and that's part of like the planning and being realistic about it and making the sacrifice, because it's like you're not going to get to where you want to get doing the same things. Like, things need to change in your approach.
Yeah.
But once you put your mind to it, I think it's like totally possible.
Absolutely. So, we covered why people leave, when people leave. And I'm going to go at you, Lena D, because you're the main one who's just like, nope, it's not happening. How do you know that you wouldn't, or why wouldn't you? Besides I can't take the pay cut.
So I think the biggest question, and this isn't going to, it's not a one size fits all, but But I think the biggest question you have to ask yourself when you're in these situations is, what am I willing to do? Like, what works for me? And mm-hmm. like, just doing an honest and like serious assessment of yourself and what you would be willing to sacrifice or what you're not willing to sacrifice. And so I've said it, like, yeah, like the whole taking a pay cut, like that's not for me. There's a couple of reasons why I feel that way. And I think like everybody's situation is different. So in my situation, like, I've invested in myself. I've gone to business school. I've, you know, taken on roles that have afforded me a certain, I would say, level of experience as well as an expectation of what I would be paid.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know my worth. I know what I bring to the table when I sit at those tables, like the tables that would want to be hiring me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just not willing to take the pay cut, because I know that if I took the pay cut and then sat at that table, I would be making that place much more than what I would be initially asking for to begin with. And so, like, I know the worth that I bring to the table, and I'm also not considering like completely changing industries, for example.
Okay.
And so I think in terms of my situation, it's being realistic of like, if I was to move and leave where I'm going now, I'm more than likely just going to go to another tech company or
a competitor for where you're at.
Right. A competitor. And so in that case, that's why I don't see taking a pay cut as even an option, because I know that they can afford to pay for what they're looking for in me as a candidate. But I think part of that also is knowing what motivates me. And so like a big thing is like, well, are you intrinsically motivated or extrinsically motivated? And so some people would say, well, I like in Michelle's case, it was like she wanted to feel that she was having an impact like in the communities. And like, you know, she was also very like in awe of like all the work that like Barack would do. And it was like, because like literally he didn't think about anything unless he was making an impact. Like he was never thinking about the money.
Word.
And so there's some people that are like that. I know myself, and I'm not like that. I'm very much driven by extrinsic motivation.
Know thyself.
So show me the money.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that's what drives me. And so there are certain things that I would say like, yeah, like I'd love to have my own business and like that's motivating for me. But at the same time, it's like I have to ground myself and say, well, would I really leave my daytime job that's secure income to just work on my own thing?
Yes.
And I would want to say yes, immediately I would, but I actually would plan to do that because I want to make sure that I could still afford the lifestyle, knowing that, hey, there's a startup cost mm-hmm. with your business. Like that it's not 3 years
gonna, where you're not making a dime.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And so I would rather say, well, I'd sacrifice some of the other things during that time, but I would much rather have the income and work on like my venture versus just like not work, like leaving where I'm at and then starting to work on my venture.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's benefits with that too, that it's just like, well, if you can learn or experiment with your day job, things that you can apply in like your venture, then it's like, why not? It's like, you're kind of developing yourself at the same time, but you just have to think, you have to switch how you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say if you're that person that like, if you're making a lot less and it's to the point that you're not no longer motivated by what you're doing, then obviously like you'd have to think twice about whether that's the right choice for you. I think the other thing too, that some, I don't know how people's like bank accounts work, but you also have to make sure that if you're leaving your job for less money, that you've actually figured out
into the bank account. And then you can take it out at a later date.
Right. But like, no, but I'm saying like some people's bank accounts don't work the same as your bank account. Like, there's other people that...
You trying money. To save my money long, motherfuckers? No, I'm not trying to say
that. I'm not trying to say that.
Like, me going to brunch is nothing. What up?
Yeah, whatever.
You can't afford bottomless mimosas? Yeah. Oh. Wow.
Yo.
Get your stacks
yo.
Up.
How are you guys gonna do me like that?
Hey, I'm sorry. I didn't see you there. I was too busy blocking out the haters.
That's not what I was saying at all.
She's like, I guess I could do some charity.
I was talking about, yo, chill. What I'm talking about is people that have their parents putting money into their bank accounts, and therefore they don't have to necessarily think about
fuck Aunt Becky
the money that they're making on their own.
Talking about she's about to do 40 years.
Good.
No, I have thoughts on that, but not yeah. now.
Like, but so that's what I'm referring to. So I'm referring to people that don't necessarily have to like worry about their own bank accounts because they have other people looking out for them in their bank account. That's what I was referring to. I wasn't trying to be bougie about my situation. Jesus. y'all came for my life.
We did. It was fun. I'm not gonna front. Like.
But I would say that for people that if you're saying, okay, well, like, yeah, I don't know if I can afford taking a 20% pay cut, but you're really considering it because it would make you happy and it would like uplift the situation that you're in, then you really need to sit down and like do the planning and
take some pen to paper
and like look at, okay, well, what am I spending money on now? What can I cut out? What Peloton. Can I do to save money? Like all that stuff. Yeah, I could potentially cut out Peloton or Pilates, but will I right now? No. Therefore,
you don't have to. Exactly. But you made a lot of really good points, especially about knowing what your motivator is. So, and we know this, we're completely opposite in that sense, where it's just like, I would absolutely be like, I'm going to quit my job so that I can go teach children how to read and name some random ass place. I'll go. I'm just like, literacy is important. It's something that I'm passionate about. But I'll plan for it. Mm-hmm. But it's something that I would be willing to do.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I would feel more fulfilled than, honestly, that was one of the reasons why I left my last job. Because I'm just like, I'm legit just finding ways to help. I was in the tax department working with high net worth clients. So I'm just like, I'm just helping my team find ways to keep these rich people rich.
Right.
I'm like, there's no purpose. There's no, I walk home, like I walk into my apartment at the end of the day and never felt like I did something good today. Like, cause I just saved you more than I'm making in a year. That's crazy. Why am I doing this? And then I got to this job with all of the bullshit that I deal with. Like at the end of the day, what I'm doing leaves me feeling so much more satisfied. I did not take a pay cut. I actually got a raise.
Which is how it should work quite in a normal situation. One.
But I also stayed within the same role mm-hmm. and title, you know? But if it came down to like, oh, would I give it up so that I can go teach children, like, or freaking build wells in sub-Saharan Africa, then I probably would do that.
Yeah.
If I had the means to do it. But I mean, I was a financial planner at one point in my life, so we all know that I'm never going to do anything where it's just like, fuck everything, I'm leaving.
I'm just going
to
do
later, guys. Come back to a foreclosed house. My cat's just like, where the fuck did you go? Like, nah. Planning is important, but also knowing what motivates you. Not everybody wants to own their own business. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has an issue working a corporate job. And I think there seems to be almost a level of shame now for anyone who is working a corporate job or who isn't trying to like own their own business or start something for themselves.
Yeah,
that's not for everyone.
I attribute that to Dame Dash.
But you picked up on that, yeah. Right? Where it's just like, nah, if you don't own your own, then it's just like you wasting your time. It's
yeah,
like,
it definitely came from that Dame Dash interview when he did on Power 105.1.
Yeah.
It definitely came from that. And ever since
then, I feel
then,
like that's really when it that's like picked
when
up.
And that's when
and
it
it's just like
up.
You see it all over.
Yep.
All over social media, all over.
I'm the CEO of some bullshit media firm. Get the fuck out
and
of
the,
here.
But the thing, but so my opinion on that is you're kind of, like, that's being put out there, but I feel like it's being ingested by people of color. Like, the communities of color mm-hmm. are the ones ingesting that.
The most, yeah.
The most. And the thing is, and the reason why I opt to stay in corporate is because my do-gooding is representation of who I am in that corporate space. Environment.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not there, like, I can't really say that somebody that looks like me that came from where I came from is going to be there to take my spot.
Let's be for real. We could just look around and be like, how often are you the only one
right
in those rooms and in those spaces?
And so like, it's and so like for me, that's what I feel good about is like, well, can I be the one that's pushing diversity recruiting, which I do? Mm-hmm. Can I be the one that's looking out for the next wave of talent that would come in that are like, you know, Black, Latinx, women of color, even men, because even sometimes the men are even harder to find than the women of color in some of these corporations. Absolutely. And so that's what I find value. So if I'm going to be in corporate, like I at least want to
have a purpose, an impact and a passion. In that.
Right. Yes. And I think it's important because if you can't look up and see somebody that looks like you, then like who else is going to do it?
Facts. So a new guy just started at my job. He's a director level. And I saw his name and I was just like, shit, I can't tell what he is. But he walked into the office the other day and I was like, it's a Black man. Yes. Like fucking yes. The reason I was so excited is now I've told y'all I'm the only Black person in my department. There's one other Black person, another Black woman who like sits literally right next to me. And I kind of feel like they'd be looking at us like, oh, of course the Black girls are together. But there's no...
So you can look at the white people and say the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, we do that. We're just like, oh, what are you guys going to do? Have a salad? while we eat our own salads. So it's just like... Wow. We ain't shit. But it's just like the judgment is real. Just like, what are you guys doing? Oh, what do you have? Maddie, I'm just like, I'm having a salad that I picked up from Trader Joe's too. No, but there was no men of color in our office. Like, not a single Black man.
Damn, no Wesleys?
In our office. No. And it was crazy to me. And, like, I would say that. I'm just like, I really need the next person that they hire to be a Black man. Like, this is bananas. But our office is also mostly women, which is just like, oh, yay, success. But then everyone's boss is a man.
Right.
What?
So, like, my boss's boss is a man. Like, so it's, like, all women. They're all senior directors, director levels. Okay. But then everyone above them is a guy. So it's just like, okay, there are no women up there? Like, none? There's no men of color anywhere? So to see him walk in, I was like, oh, thank God, finally.
You're like, so my prayers have been answered.
That shit really does, really matter, does matter in these corporate spaces. It's just like, I respect anyone who wants to go out there, start their own business, do their own thing. But then if your goal and your passion is to live and work in a corporate, there's no shame in that either. Like, do you? I think that's the main thing for us in this. It's just like, know your worth and do what makes you happy. Mm-hmm. It might not be what everyone else is telling you should make you happy, but if it is, do it. Like, if you want to join me on my mission trip to go build a well, I'm not doing this, guys, so please don't ask me about this. But do that. You hear about people doing that all the time where it's just like, oh yeah, she just quit her job and she's like backpacking across Europe.
Why?
The fuck?
Where's the money?
Because it makes her happy. And then they come back. It's just like, yeah, I became a travel blogger and now I make thousands of dollars per post, like writing for all this shit. It's like, that's making your passion work for you.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do.
Like, but I respect the hell out of anyone who's willing to take that leap of faith. And I respect anyone who's willing to stand their ground and be like, no, I'm happy right where I'm at doing what I want.
Yeah. It's like, not everybody's path is the same.
No.
It's not.
So now the last thing we want to cover is the things you should consider before making these decisions,
which is important,
which is whether it's going to be to take a pay cut, to change industries, to change your major, to just go against the grain. Please take these things into consideration. Do not make just a rash emotional decision.
Yeah, for real.
That's the first one.
Don't curse out your boss on the way out either. Because you ain't coming back.
Especially depending on the industry. Them industries be small.
Yeah.
Everybody knows everybody. Yeah, don't do that shit.
They'll get blackballed.
You're
I think you've talked about this before, Wesley. It's just like, especially being a person of color in certain industries, it's like you realize everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
No matter what job you're in, you go to a networking event and it's just like, oh, I saw you at the last one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, especially in like big cities, you think that they're big and it's like, oh shit, like literally you know this person that knows that person that knows this person that I know.
And oh, and they tell me that you just quit your job and you curse out your boss and you flip the table on your way out. Is that true? What?
You shouldn't. I can do see that. Someone trying to like awkwardly walk away. Like, I didn't hear you. Sip on your drink.
Oh, is the bar open again? Okay, I'm gonna go now. Like, for real? That's your excuse? No, but if you're gonna make a career change, if you're gonna change your major, if you're gonna leave your job, make sure it's a well thought out and planned decision.
Mm-hmm. Planning's the most important part, because there's like so many things to plan. You have to plan the financials. You have to plan, like, you know, the right timing. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to plan, like, if you have a family or if you have a partner, like, obviously talking with them and understanding, like, if they have any sort of things coming up that might impact your timeline. And then, right. I think even planning for the worst case scenario is also,
if it fails,
super important.
Yeah. Like,
what if you start this new job and you get fired because you're like, you don't know what you're talking about?
Or if for people that were trying to do this in 2008, which is like, I know we can't travel back in time, but that's a good example. Yeah. Where it was just like, shit, like it was just a tough time for everybody.
That was a whole struggle.
And with all these like trade tariffs, I wouldn't be surprised if our economy starts going to the shit.
Everybody's tubers. Expecting it.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. If you're trying to leave your job, you should probably wait.
Yep.
Because
or start looking and interviewing and make sure you get that offer written before you actually give notice at the other place.
Like, I know we're at like very high or very low unemployment right now. I feel like that shit's about to change real quick. Yeah,
it's just like a disaster.
Do not make these rash emotional decisions. Lena D touched on this, but also make sure you have a support system in place. Whether it's your partner, it's your family, it's friends, whoever, make sure when you're about to go on this new adventure or this endeavor that you have people that A, support you, understand you, and will go to bat for you. So that on those days where you're just like, yo, why did I do this? I quit, or I should just go back to what I was doing before. You have those people that remind you to be like, hey, you knew this shit wasn't going to be easy.
Yeah, for real.
So let's make this shit happen. Push through. And the people that could like help you to get started. Like, hey, you know what? You want to start a t-shirt business? I know a guy. I know a guy that's done it. I know a guy that's looking for new designs or whatever the case might be. Have that support system.
For sure.
I think that's super important. Besides the planning, not being rash and emotional and irrational, to have people that will go to bat for you. And the last one, I know we're going to keep beating this into your head. Plan. Plan it.
Because we didn't say it like 20 billion times already.
Plan for this shit. Plan extensively.
Don't just do it. Don't be Nike on this one.
When you finish, when you finish planning, plan some more. Like, make sure you have planned for this and you have a backup.
Backup's always important.
Your plan might not work out.
And also being okay with what you plan may not be what you 100% end up with, but as long as like your mental and like your mental health, your situation, your happiness is there, then that's all that matters.
Facts.
So don't let people ask you, well, I thought you were going to go to California. Why are you now in Texas? Well, like, you happy, ain't you? Like,
why are you still in the same place that I left you in, huh?
Wow.
Is that wrong? Should I not say that? I thought you was going to build a well for the little kids in sub-Saharan Africa. I thought you was going to move out your mama's basement. What up?
Shots fired. You may not want to be coming for people's lives.
At least not with me and Wesley, because y'all know we don't respect nobody.
We don't respect shit. Stop.
We hurt feelings out of this bitch. So yeah, know your worth. Do what makes you happy. If it doesn't make you happy, fuck it.
Yeah, fuck them haters.
That's all we got.
Yeah.
Thanks, Wesley. I kind of expected you to do one more. Yeah, I'm not gonna front.
Nah.
Because that's just how you be. I'm really disappointed.
Sorry.
So you're not gonna do another year?
Yeah.
Thank you. Anyway, hope this helps. If you guys have any questions, any share your stories. If you have done this, if you was just like, yo, I'm gonna leave this six figure job to go build wells in sub-Saharan Africa.
Tell us about it.
Yo, what's up with you and wells? Yeah, come on, man. You drown somebody or something? Is this the ring?
No, but they need water.
Shit.
Jeez. Just trying to get clean water to children and villages. All right.
All right.
Do you have a problem with people having clean water?
Yeah, you just gotta think for wells. You keep mentioning
wells.
Do you have an issue with... I feel like something happened at a well. You're not telling me.
No, I was just reading about opportunities and that one kept coming up.
Well, thanks for joining us today.
Go build a well. Later, Gators.
Right, bye.
Peace out, Girl Scouts.